The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, if I'll keep my mind stayed on him, he'll keep me in perfect peace. We don't have to fear the things that are coming on the earth. And greater grace has he given us. He's given us a greater grace. If we humble ourselves before the Lord, we can be promised that there'll be a greater grace for us. You know, I believe Sunday morning, the word of the Lord was, behold the Lamb. And it's still timely for today and for always. As we behold him, we become like him. And he's not full of fear. And as I keep my eyes on him, he'll keep me in perfect peace. I thought you left, Rachel, but God said there's a greater grace coming to you, a greater grace, and there's an open heaven for you. And he said, with the amount of trials and troubles you've seen, greater glories coming to you, and it will be beyond your imagination in the natural. But in your spirit, he's going to deposit the greater grace, and you'll be able to see the things that are going to manifest for you because there's an open heaven for you. And he sees your dreams, he sees your heartaches, he sees your tears. But he said there's an open heaven and there's grace to support everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight it's been a beautiful thread of he is our great physician, and he's everything about prayer and what Pastor just spoke about is he wants to be our great physician, and he wants to do healing in our hearts tonight. There's a lot of discouragement, a lot of dis. The word dis is a bad prefix, discouragement. And before, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but God's going to heal a lot of wounds tonight, a lot of brokenness. He promised me for 2 solid weeks. And the amount of resistance I felt for 2 weeks, he said, it can't be matched to the glory that will be experienced tonight through each and every person that answered the banquet table. See, he called us all to the banquet table. Some couldn't come, no judgment there, but some didn't choose to come. But y'all did. And so you're in for a treat tonight in Jesus' name. If you'll open your Bibles to Luke 13, and we're still keeping on the thread of Jesus is our healer. Pastor's been teaching us wonderfully, both pastors, about healing. And healing is our gift. It's part of our covenant right. It belongs to us. I've experienced many types of healings. If the Lord permits, I'll share a few with you tonight. But I'm telling you, I know him. I have experienced him as my healer. And there is nothing impossible for me, for the person who believes. He'll make the non-existent existent. He'll make the impossible possible. They said, a little testimony just brought to my spirit, so I'm supposed to share it. They said my first grandson would be born, that his stomach would be outside, and I said, that ain't happening. That ain't happening in the name of Jesus. Whose report do you believe? I said, that's not happening. No, he's going to be normal, and he's going to be whole, and he's going to be a great blessing. His parents won't have to go through that in the name of Jesus. And when he was born, the doctors were amazed that his stomach was inside where it belongs. So I know Jesus as my healer. I have experienced him, and nobody can tell me. I don't care who died or who was believing what. You know, Romans 14:22, I believe it's 14:22. It says, have ye faith in God, have it to yourself before God. Sometimes we have to put blinders on, and we have to shut out other stories. Well, they believe, but they died. That's not my faith. Where is my faith? So we have to examine our hearts and see where our faith is. So are you there at Luke 13? It's a beautiful testimony of healing. We'll begin with Luke 13, verse 10. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. I love that because he was in many synagogues. But this particular synagogue, there was a woman there who for 18 years who had an infirmity. An infirmity, it's about to tell you what an infirmity is. It's caused by a demon of sickness. That's what an infirmity is. It's a demon of sickness. And Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give unto you power and authority to tread upon all scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. We have the power, but we have to use it. We have power. And let me tell you tonight, I want to encourage you that Satan is beneath you. The trial you're going through is beneath you. It's under your feet. You remind him he has no place, no right to speak. Shut him up and tell him you have authority, because Jesus said in Luke 10:19, he's given me authority. So don't entertain him. Don't converse with him. Just say, be gone in the name of Jesus, like Jesus said. So we'll pick it up at verse 12. And when Jesus saw her, and there was a woman there who for 18 years had an infirmity caused by a demon spirit of sickness. She was bent completely forward and utterly unable to straighten herself up or to look upward. We are so blessed. We are so blessed that we can look up and that we're not bent over. And when Jesus saw her, oh, my compassionate Savior, he called her to him and he said to her, woman, you are released from your infirmity. Then he laid his hands on her and instantly she was made straight. And she recognized and thanked and praised God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the crowd, there are 6 days in which you could work, ought to be done. So come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day. He was trying to put God in a box. Brothers and sisters, God can't be put in a box. We are the clay. He is the potter. He can do whatever he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. He can be gracious and kind and merciful to whoever. You know, I heard one time, we weren't tithing at the time. I didn't have a revelation of it. And someone said, I'm blessed because I tithe. Well, that's spiritual pride, I'm telling you. And God was blessing me. And I'm saying, Father, I feel so condemned because I'm not tithing. And he said, you will be. You will soon. You'll have that revelation, Rose. But he said, it's my grace. Everything we have in Christ Jesus is not because we're so great. Because we come to church, we pray, we know the word, or we do this or we do that. What we have is by grace. By grace are we saved through faith, and not of anything we can boast. We can't say, well, you know, I personally, this just because of my lifestyle, I can be in the word long periods of time. It adds nothing. I mean, it adds to me and my personal, but it doesn't make me more righteous. It doesn't make me better than you. Some people pray for hours. I pray for, you know, a few minutes. And then I'm like, okay, I pray in the Spirit 10 minutes. And so anyway, if you didn't get the message on Sunday, please listen to the message. It's so important that you be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I was a little Catholic girl. I didn't understand the Bible. I tried to understand it before I was saved. And then once I got saved, I went down to the altar. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. Everything made sense. And I sat under a tree the morning after, and I was like, Exodus goes with Timothy? Oh my goodness, the old goes with the new? My eyes were open. And so I want to tell you, there'll be religious people in your path. They won't like what Jesus is doing for you on certain days, but you can just smile and grant them grace and pray for them. And I want to bring out to that point in verse 14, the leader of the synagogue, he was indignant because Jesus was doing something. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit at Assembly of God, I almost knocked my little 90-pound neighbor down. She asked me if you want to go forward and get saved. And I knocked her down. Little did she know I got saved the day before. But as soon as my knees touched the pew, I began to speak in other tongues. Little Catholic girl, I didn't know the Holy Ghost from the Holy Spirit. I knew nothing, but I began to speak in tongues. Well, after the service was over, we went to the restroom, and she said Christine, Rose just got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and she began to speak in tongues, and she said, she can't. And I'm standing there. I'm new. I don't know anything. And she says, she can't. I've been tarrying for the Holy Spirit for 2 years. Well, let me tell you, if you don't have your tongues, you don't have to tarry for 2 years. You can get it right now in the seat where you're at. And you need it. We need the power, the ability, the efficiency, and the might that the Holy Spirit, especially in the day we live in, we need the Holy Spirit to help us. And so I just thought of that when I was meditating today, I jotted down on the side of that my testimony, because the religious told me, you can't have the Holy Ghost. You can't teach the word. You can't prophesy. You're too young. Never let your youth be a factor to obey God. God said, despise not thy youth. So let's go on with verse 15. And I love what the Lord said. He replied to him saying, you play actors, you hypocrites. Does not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox and his donkey from his stall and lead it out to water? And ought not this woman, oh, my favorite part, ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? And even as he said this, all of his opponents were put to shame, glory to God, and all the people were rejoicing over all the glorious things that were being done by him. Don't let anybody tell you you can't have God's glory or your miracle. And don't let time trip you up if you're believing for a miracle. I'm telling you, if you put a preconceived idea of how God will do it, and Ben, remember, God will do it again, but what? He won't do it like he did before. He won't do it like he did before. I've been healed of cancer. I've been healed of vertigo. I've been healed of broken bones in my back that I didn't know they were broken until the Lord called me out. I've been healed of deep-seated rejection and abandonment. I was abandoned at 2 years old. Pastor Paula said I'd give a great testimony. They didn't celebrate my birth. They weren't excited that I was born. I was told I was a problem child since the day I was born. I'm a problem, all right. I'm a problem for the devil. I kick him in the mouth because they tried to abort me and it didn't work. They tried to get rid of me and it didn't work. But God had a plan for this girl. And we are daughters of greatness. We are sons of greatness. And I want you to know, you hold on to that dream that people told you it'll never happen. Who told you that? God didn't tell you your dream won't come true. He said in Ephesians 3:20 that you're to dream big and he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that you dare ask or think or dream. Dream bigger. He'll give you that dream, and he gave us a dream to live in the country. We lived there for 7 years, complete, done. We're out of there. But he did bigger. He did greater. Troy got his 40 by 60 building where he stored his classic cars. I got my country porch around the back. They cemented the entire back, and the Lord blessed me with a she shed and all kinds of things. He did exceedingly abundantly above. Keep dreaming. Don't let anybody stop you from dreaming. And don't put a time frame on your dream. Lord, it's been 9 months. The lady was bent over 18 years, but she kept coming to the synagogue. She kept coming to the synagogue. And the woman with the issue of blood, she kept saying. So there's all types of healing. And so I want you to hold on. I want to tell you a few of my testimonies. Can we go to Jeremiah 8:22? Brother, Jeremiah 8:22. Guess I can go there. Okay, I'm there. Are y'all there? Jeremiah 8:22, and I'm speaking out of the Amplified Bible. That's what I cut my teeth on. But is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of my daughter or my people restored? Because Zion no longer enjoyed the presence of the great physician. That is such a sad state. Who is the great physician? You can speak up. Jesus is our great physician. And I also, we won't go there, but the word always confirms itself in Mark 9:12, for those taking notes. And in Mark 2:17, it talks about the physician. The well person doesn't need the physician, but the sick does. I'm telling you, I always need the physician. I'm not always sick, and rarely, but when I am, he is my great physician. So I want to tell you a little bit of a few of my testimonies, if he allows me to. Years and years ago, before I start, I saw this ladder in the spirit this week as I was preparing and praying and just seeking the Lord. And I saw this ladder, and every rung of my ladder was a testimony. And he says, we overcome, Revelations 12, 11 says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Tell your story. Tell it to anyone who will listen. You need to tell the story for his glory. Because your testimony is not just for you. It's for other people. And so people hear your testimony. So tonight, I'm going to give you a couple of my testimonies. One was, I was working at church, a large church in Lamarck. I was secretary to the pastor. And I had lots of hats to wear, and one of them is a counselor. And people would come in, and I would counsel them, and they would leave, and I'd cry like a baby. My husband didn't know, my boss didn't know, my best friends didn't know, but I was in excruciating pain in my lower back. It hurt to sit, it hurt to stand, it hurt to walk, it hurt to do anything. And I remember saying this, it's so important what you say, because you can invoke a blessing on yourself or you can invoke a curse. In Isaiah 65, about the 16th verse, it says, he who invokes a blessing on himself does so by saying. So there, it says, bless me now, the God of amen, the God, bless me now. So I invoked a blessing on myself. I remember cleaning the bathroom, and I was in tremendous pain, tears streaming down my face. Someone would come in, and I'd dry my tears real quick, and I'd, you know, whatever they need, if they were a new member or they needed a scripture or whatever the case, I would pray with them, and they would leave, and I would, there I was crying again. My boss came in, my pastor boss, and I'd dry my tears and, yes, sir, and type him whatever he needed or do whatever I needed to assist him. And this went on for a while. Well, during that time, it was camp meeting. And a gentleman named Rudy Vertoshnik, you remember? Rudy Vertoshnik was up front, and he said, there's a woman here, and you're hurting in your lower back, and God's going to heal you. Well, seven women went forward, and he said, you seven, you're going to get healed. He said, but there's one woman here. You'd think I'd go forward immediately, but I was responsible for, I won't call them that tonight. The great men and women of God, I was responsible that they would be fed. They're coming from all over the world, Ireland, Spain, Nicaragua, and I was responsible to make sure that they had food after camp meeting. So my heart, my mind was on that, but I could hear him say, until he said what I said. And I said, cleaning the bathroom, I said, Father, either you're Lord of all or you're not Lord at all. Either you're my healer or you're not my healer. And I believe you're my healer. Now my emotions and my flesh is screaming, but you're bigger than my emotions and you're bigger than my flesh. And so I'm going to stand until I receive my healing. Well, he said exactly what I said. And I said that. And he said, yeah, there's one woman here and you said this. And when he said that, I said, that's me. And I went forward and he said, yeah, you're the one. And he said, great is your faith. The Lord said, great is your faith. And he's snapping bones back into place that were out of place. And I thought, my bones were out of place? This is a big deal. Now, I'm on the floor, I have to tell you. But on the floor, I was like, this is a big deal. And Lord, remember, I'm in a dress, and I'm the secretary, and I've got a lot of things to do. And he's pouring on. I could feel his presence all over me. I could feel the presence of angels. And so after I got up, you'd think that it'd be gloriously healed. Well, it was 1 week later. I didn't tell anybody, but it was a week later the manifestation took place. So don't give up. Don't go by your feelings. And just because you don't feel anything at the altar doesn't mean he didn't touch you. It was a week later, I was just walking, and all of a sudden, I felt the bones snap into place. I listened to my cassette tape, and as I pressed the cassette tape, I listened to it over and over and over again, and I heard, he's snapping bones back into place. He's snapping bones back into place. So I want you to know. Then there was another time, and I'll make this short because I really want to, he's shown me in the spirit what he wants to do tonight. He's healed me of cancer. I won't get into that. He healed me of vertigo so bad. It was so bad that I crawled everywhere I needed to go inside my home. I didn't leave the home because I couldn't stand up. As a child, I wasn't able to do merry-go-rounds or swings or the airplane or anything with motion. And God has healed me over the years. And as we've traveled, sometimes I have to touch my husband and say, It's time to pull over. Because we travel all of the United States and we're about to travel again in a week. So anyway, be praying for me. But he healed me. I was crawling. It was a Thursday night. It was 5 o'clock in the evening. And all of a sudden, I could see straight. And I wasn't dizzy. And I stood up. And for 48 years now, I have not had vertigo. I have not had vertigo. When the Lord is in it, there is a miracle. And that sickness, Nahum 1:9 says, that sickness cannot come back again on me twice. It can't visit me again. So the other testimony I want to give you is I went forward for prayer at my old church. And there was a long line of prayer warriors. And I went forward to Laura Baker. She happened to be in front of me. So I chose her. And she said, "What did you come for, Rose?" And I said, "I don't know. My finances are good. My marriage is good. My children are good. I'm a happy camper." And she said, "Well, I don't know either, but let's pray." And so we began to pray in the Spirit. That's why it's so important that you pray in tongues, because the Spirit knows what you have need of. And so she began to pray in the Spirit, and it wasn't 10 seconds. And she goes, "You have a spirit of grief." About that time I broke, I was bawling. I mean, I was crying. I was bent over. And the Lord just set me free, because what happened is my husband had had a diagnosis of cancer. And right behind his cancer, I mean, he had a diagnosis of needing a thigh bypass. Right after his recovery from the thigh bypass, he was sent to the hospital of my doing. I accidentally knelt on his foot in the middle of the night, and he'd go to the emergency room. The emergency room sent him to his doctor, and the doctor said, "Have you had that colonoscopy?" And from there, they found a tumor. And fast forward, God healed him. He is completely and 100% healed. He is strong in the Lord. He does love Jesus. And don't ask me why he doesn't come to church. It's between him and Jesus. I know, but I'm not privy to give that. The heart of my husband trust in me. So I won't be talking about that area. But don't judge him. He is born again. He does love Jesus. And he prayed for me before I left to put his hands on me. So 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to is it written." My faith is in what is written. My faith is right here in these words. This is the more sure word of prophecy. If you don't get a prophecy tonight, here's your prophecy. Here's your prophecy. It's the more sure word. I can be inaccurate because I'm human, but he's never inaccurate. He's never inaccurate. So it says, "As I have believed, so I speak." We also believe, so we speak. And you can tell what a person believes by what comes out of their heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, my mouth speaks. Sometimes I'm in belief, and sometimes God will correct me and say, you're not trusting me, Rose. You're in head knowledge. You need some time before my throne, and let me deposit to you that faith, that picture of what you can be. And Jesus in Matthew 4:23, it says, Jesus went about all. Now listen to all the alls. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And if this is one thing the Lord taught me this week, a couple of weeks, this past 2 weeks, I've been meditating on the word. It said, dis-ease. Dis-ease. And Jesus in Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I'll give you rest and I'll give you ease." I'll give you ease when you come to me. So you can't have your mind on Jesus and your mind on fear. You got one or the other. So he promises if you come to me, he'll give us ease. So one of the points I failed to bring up, and I really think it's so important, he told the leader of the synagogue, "This daughter of Abraham." So I want to read this to you like God gave it to me. It says, "I am the seed of Abraham according to promise. I am a son or a daughter of the Most High God, and that puts me in covenant with him. Psalms 89:34 says, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips." We are covenant people. Yes. Tonight in prayer, the Lord gave me Psalms 25:14, and it says, as we enjoy the sweet companionship of the Lord, He'll reveal His covenant to us. Can we say it together? The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear, revere, and worship Him, and He will show them His covenant and reveal to Him the deep inner meaning. And so I want our confession, and my confession is, I'm a covenant woman. I am a covenant daughter of the Most High God. Proverbs 26:2 says, "No curse can alight on me without a cause." And let me tell you what that means. The Lord just revealed that to me this week. He says, no announcement can stick to me. No report can stick to me. Nothing formed against me can stick to me. I don't give it permission. So whatsoever I bind is bound, and whatsoever I loose is loosed. And so no curse can alight on us without a cause. If it's a curse, we're blessed. We're seeds of Abraham, and it can't stay. So with that in mind, I just really want to remind you who you are and whose you are. Remind you just how powerful our God is, that nothing is impossible to God, to those who believe. That you can hear His voice. You can. If you're His sheep, and you are, you can hear His voice, and the voice of a stranger you'll not follow. So don't take credit for a good idea. God places ideas in our heart. That was a good idea. That was prosperous. That was from the Lord. You just didn't give Him credit. So we want to give God credit when we hear His voice, and we want to act immediately. See, God wants to use a lot of people in the gifts, but they're too self-conscious, kind of narcissistic. None of y'all are. But we don't need to be thinking about ourselves. I don't think about myself when I'm here. I really am not worried about what anybody thinks of me. Someone asked me last week, "Are you afraid?" And I thought, no, perfect love casts fear. I'm never afraid because He is the teacher. I'm just the vessel. I just stand before Him and say, "What are you speaking to me tonight? What are you speaking to me today?" I said, "God, I'll say what you want me to say, and I won't say anything else." Talking about covenant, Friday night as I'm preparing this and my mind's on it, I had to run an errand. I come back and there was a double rainbow. And I took a picture of it. And I said, and He said, "My covenant, I'll give you double for your trouble. I'll give you double for your former shame. I'll give you a twofold recompense." So the devil didn't get the last say in this thing in Minnesota. God's going to do a great and wonderful thing. He's going to do a great revival because the devil thinks he plays his hand, but God, he's not great, but God is. And God will get the glory from that. I want to minister to you tonight. Psalms 147 verse 3, He says, "He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds and pains and sorrows." And we talked about that during prayer. Man, prayer is so wonderful. If you can come get in the presence of God and intercede, God will bless you. He heals the broken heart and He binds up their wounds. He told me for 2 weeks, I'm going to heal some wounds in here. You know, it's one thing to be sick, fever, earache, headache. God will heal that too. But there's wounds deep in my heart sometimes. And He said He looks on the heart and He goes, "I see a wound there. And I've come to heal your wounds." And so I want you to know that tonight that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and hath anointed me to be His mouthpiece to tell you He wants to heal some wounds. How do you want to do this? And I want to say to you, time doesn't heal all wounds. Jesus does. Don't give time the credit. You know, we just say things sometimes in the world. And I heard the other day, well, you know, time will heal all wounds. And I'm thinking, nuh-uh. Jesus heals all wounds. Wounds go deep. They're in an area where people can't see, but God can. And so tonight He said He's going to heal some grief. A lot of people have endured grief. Now, grief comes in many forms. I didn't know I was grieving over my broken dreams. When I got called out by Laura Baker, I didn't know I had broken dreams. But when Troy got diagnosed, life or death sentences, and he's fine, and God healed him. But all my dreams, I just gave up on my dreams. And when I moved to the country, one night the Lord woke me up at 3:20. And he said, look at the clock. And I didn't. It was 3:20. And he said, what does Ephesians 3:20 says? And I said, well, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could dare ask or dream. And he said, stop right there. You stopped dreaming, Rose. You don't even put up a Christmas tree. You stopped dreaming. I was like, wow. And he said, I want you to dream again. And I said, what could I dream for? We had a little tiny kitchen. And after God sent a supernatural check in the mail, right after that, for $14,000, we overpaid on taxes. Who does that? We didn't know we were doing that. We wouldn't have did that. But we did. And it allowed us to build the kitchen. That was my first dream. And then I had some others. I won't share them. But wounds go deep, and God is healing wounded hearts tonight, manifested. You are already healed, but the manifestation he wants to do in you. Again, Jeremiah 8:22, it says, he is the great physician. He is the balm of Gilead. The balm of Gilead is an aromatic, fragrant spice. And people would use it for medicinal purposes. It was so wonderful that they sold it. In Tyre, is that how you say it? And different places in the market, they would take this balm of Gilead and sell it. And Lois, God wants you to know that that day that you felt you smelt something, he said that was his aromatic fragrance. And he was healing some deep inner wounds in you because you kept saying, do y'all smell it? Do y'all smell it? Well, he was operating on you because the word says in Hebrews 4:12 that the word is operative and it's alive and it's active. And that day he was operating on you and you didn't even know it. But he told me to remind you tonight that anytime you smell the fragrance and you're going, that's not somebody's perfume. What is that fragrance? God's healing you. God's healing you. And whether y'all smell that here tonight, God's healing some people of grief. Grief. The wounds go deep. And I'm going to call out these things. And if it ministers to your heart, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Grief. You're experiencing grief in many different forms. Maybe it's injustices. Some of you have faced injustices. I think we all have in this life. Injustices that wasn't fair. I had $8,000 taken from me one time, and I was just about to win. They said I was going to win, and then I was needed at St. Luke's for my husband. And because I was there for a period of time, they gave the win to the opposing person who stole the $8,000. But God said, I'll give it back to you 100-fold, Rose. And he has. I can't tell you how many times he's blessed me. So injustices, maybe you're dismayed that a spirit of fear has tried to come on you and torment you and tell you that you can't be or that this is going to happen or that your loved one will be taken from you, snatched from you, all kinds of fear, fear of the darkness, fear of losing your sight, fear of not being accepted among people. He said, my people are suffering from these things. And I know this to be true because I know the voice of God. And a lot of Christians, the reason they're not free is because they won't admit they have a need. There is nothing shameful to stand up and say, that's me. That's me. So in a minute, I'm going to ask that you stand if this applies to you so that the Lord will heal you. And as you stand in faith, God's ministering to your heart. He's ministering hurts and harms. There's been some things that have been said to us. I'm telling you, when I was told I was a problem since the day I was born, that hurt. But then I met Jesus. And then I found out I'm a problem to the devil. I'm stomping all over his feet. You're underneath me. You called me a problem. Well, here is the problem. I'm a step on you. You're beneath me. Some of you have had really damaging words. You can't make it. You're not good enough. You're old. You're wrinkly. Don't receive that. You're not old. Old is a imagination in your mind, a number. It's just a number. We are just a number. Now, maybe when you're about 120 or 900 years old, I call you old. But let me tell you, we are not we are not the sum total of this. We're not this. That's what the world is. We are the sum total of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. And so if you've had damaging words, broken dreams, rejection, listen, I didn't make this up. This is what God's telling me. You've suffered abandonment. Would you put up Hebrews 13:5? I want you to see that. Hebrews 13:5. And you don't have to put this up, but 1 Peter 2:4 says that rejection that you're feeling will become cherished by God. God cherishes that. And so He'll turn that rejection around. He'll turn those broken dreams. He'll turn those hurts and harms of the past. And He's going to turn it into something where He receives the glory. Amen. So Hebrews, let's read it together. Let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money. I'm going fast because I want to get to the part where He says, for He, God Himself, has said, this is God saying it. I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, or let you down, or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. If you don't know it already, then He says, I'm assuring you that I'll never leave you or forsake you. I won't abandon you. I won't leave you. I won't relax my hold on you. All the days of your life, I've got my hand on you, whether you feel it or not. He's working in us. He's doing something. And so others may have abandoned you. They might have left that relationship, but God will never fail you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never disappoint you. You know, I just want to read some dis words. Dismayed. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I'm with you. Damaging words. Disconnect. You know, disconnect is oppression. That you might feel a disconnect from God, but God's not disconnected from you. He said he'll never stop working in you. He is the author and finisher of my faith. You might feel despair. Despair is the loss of hope or the absence of something in our lives. And we can turn to, if you can put up Hebrews 6:19. We as Christians should never be without hope because we have an anchor and His name is Jesus. Now we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor. Let me turn around. As a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions, the thinking faculties. It cannot slip. It cannot break down under whoever steps out on it. A hope that reaches farther and enters into the very certainty of the presence within the veil. Hope. Well, your hope in Jesus, you'll never be put to shame. You'll never be put to shame because He's our anchor of hope. And I can step out on Jesus and I can say, Jesus, You are my anchor. I won't sink. I'm not going down. I'm going up. You are my hope. Again, He's the balm of Gilead. And so I feel like God wants me to do something first before I do that. I'm going to call out these things and I want you to stand up because I want to pray a prayer of deliverance over you because I've been delivered and He's anointed me and He told me to do that. But first, Tuesday night at 3:00 in the morning, I don't know why He does that. Maybe because He never sleeps or slumbers and He doesn't keep time, but He woke me up and I saw you too. And I saw this great, let me just turn there first. Just give me a moment. I know exactly what I'm doing. And I know exactly what I'm saying. I saw this great, big, ancient door. It was two doors. And the top of the door went like this. But it was like three stories high. Big door. I want to read it, and it's for you too. And it says, excuse me, I'm one page over. It says, who shall go up into the mountain of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? For he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted himself up to falsehood, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek Him, who inquire for Him, who seek for his seek him out of necessity and require him, who seek your face. Terry, what did you say tonight? That we needed to take time to seek his face? I didn't know that that was there. I didn't know until I started reading it. But it was all about seeking his face in prayer. And it says, O God of Jacob, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you age-abiding doors. The King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong, mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Yes, lift them up, you age-abiding doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he? The King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And it says, now think on that. Now think on that. So as I saw these two big doors, these massive doors, I said, God, you got to give me a scripture what you're talking about. And so he gave me Psalms 24 for you guys. And I said, and when I read it, I was like, oh, now it makes sense. And he said, tell them the time has come, that they'll possess the kingdom, and that those doors that seem so hard, that didn't open before, he said, they're opening now for you because the King of glory has come in, and he saw your hearts, and he saw you seeking his face. And even tonight you brought up to seek his face. He sees your heart, and he said, I can trust you. And he said, now is the time those big ancient, the Ancient of Days is opening the door. And in Daniel, he's called the Ancient of Days, and he's opening doors of favor and blessings. And he said to tell you that the atmosphere has changed. And this won't be by your might. It won't be by your strength and power, but be by the Spirit of God. You'll see these doors open. And in dreams that you've dreamt, I would like to hear them come and speak. The Lord said he's given you favor. He's given you favor to stand tall. And those doors are wide open. The ancient doors of old. Amen. Amen. And he said, it'll be with effortless grace, effortless grace. So if any of you have ever, it's just on my heart, ever received a prophetic word from the Lord, you war a good warfare by the prophetic word that God speaks to you. Don't let go of it. Don't just say, well, it's been, 7 years. It's been 18 years. It's been a long time. I'm holding on to a word that God gave me 40 years ago. And I know it was God. It's God's timing to bring it to pass. And so I want to encourage you. Now, I want you to stand up. If any of those words, if you felt despair, if you've had dreams that are broken, if you've had loved ones that you believe for healing and you haven't seen the manifestation yet, and despair tries to come to you, it's a name. And it's above, the name of Jesus is above despair. The name of Jesus is above disappointment. The name of Jesus is above heartache. And so I want you to stand right now, and I want to pray a prayer over you that have been in grief, that have been in injustices and been dismayed. That should be every one of us. Every one of us have had injustices. Every one of us has had a damaging word spoken against us. Every one of us have had rejection in some form or another. Maybe we didn't get the promotion. But God is meeting you here tonight. And I want you to know that the King of glory is here. He's present to heal your broken hearted. He's doing a surgery right now. His beautiful hands are going in areas that I don't even know about. And he's healing you right now of deep hurts and harms and pains. And so I want you to just focus on Jesus right now. Don't focus on me. I'm just a person. I have no power to heal you. I have a power to deliver and to speak the word of faith over you. And so right now, as I speak the word of faith over you, just receive it from the Lord Jesus. Get your eyes on Jesus, not on Rose. Get your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes off of that hurt, and just take that hurt. And he wraps you up. When it says he binds you up, you know, as a mother swaddles her baby, she binds the baby up so that the baby feels secure. Well, that's what God does with our hurts and harms and pains of the past. It might be a pain 60, 40, 40 years ago. It might be a pain yesterday. It might be a pain last April. It might be a pain 4 years ago. But God is delivering you right now the healing balm of Gilead. Let it flow right now, Father God, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. All the hurts and harms and griefs that they've suffered, the grief of loss, the grief of the loss of a loved one, the grief of a broken dream, the grief of a broken marriage that might have been 20 years ago, the grief of a wayward child or a child that needs to come home in the name of Jesus, a grief of visions that haven't come to pass. God is healing right now. He's going into each and every heart right now. And what you're feeling right now, the warmth of the Spirit, and maybe if you don't feel anything, doesn't mean He's not moving. He's moving on your behalf. So Father, most holy Father, merciful God, compassionate Savior, You are binding up the wounds of Your people. These people that are standing in faith, believing God. They didn't let the flesh hold them back. They didn't say, you know, people that aren't healed is because they don't believe they need to be. They said, I need to be healed, God. So they're crying out to You, and You will in no wise turn anyone away. Thank You for healing across this Believers Fellowship altar, healing across these chairs, every person standing in the name of Jesus and the sound of My voice. They're being healed from the hurts and the rejections and the words spoken about them, that they weren't good enough, that they weren't smart enough, that they weren't pretty enough, that they weren't beautiful, that they weren't intelligent enough, that they weren't able to do what God's called them to do. I rebuke that in the name above all names, in the name of Jesus. I thank You for the sweeping healing power of Jesus. Broken dreams coming to pass. You're healing and binding up everything. You're healing and binding up together. You're binding hearts right now. Just say with me, God, God, You are healing my broken heart. You are going into places I didn't know. I didn't know I was grieving there, God. I didn't know I was grieving there. And that's why I act or react to certain things, God. But now I give it to You. I'm leaving it at Your feet, Jesus. All the hurts, the harms, the broken dreams, the shattered dreams, the hope despaired, makes a heart sick, but a dream fulfilled comes true. Thank You, Father God. It fulfills us. A dream fulfilled makes the heart happy, Father. Let dreams be fulfilled. And Father, where there were brokenness, let the healing balm of Gilead fill that area. And Father God, concerning the loss of loved ones, it's not that we don't love them and miss them, but you bore our grief. You bore our sorrow. And by Your stripes, we are healed. You've healed our wounds, God. You healed our rejections. You've healed the words, Father. And now the manifestation is happening all over this church, Father. The manifestation of Your glory, God. Let Your anointing just come all over. Now in Jesus' name. Now in Jesus' name. Father, we'll be careful to give You all the glory and all the honor. Now, some of you will notice in your behavior immediately that God has done something. Some will notice in your appetites. Some will notice in your desires. I don't desire the things I did a year ago. Some will notice in the presence of God, the ease, the effortless grace. Some will notice on your bed, your nighttime bed, where you've cried and others didn't know you were crying your eyes out. God did. God did. And He's there to heal. He's here to heal. He's healing you. And you know, when God healed my back, I was healed as I went. So if you didn't feel anything, we're not feelers. We're believers. And to as many as have believed, to them gave he the power, the right, and the privilege to become a child of God. John 11:40 says, if I would only believe, I would see the glory of God. All it takes is believing, and you have the faith to believe it. All you need is a grain of mustard seed. Jesus, I look to you. See, I didn't go to anybody for prayer for my back, not out of spiritual pride, but I was in union with Jesus, and it was enough. He's enough. Now, I strongly encourage you for the prayer of agreement. I believe in that. I believe in laying on of hands. I believe in going to someone who has faith to believe with me. So I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, go to the Father first and get His direction. Because he told me for 3 months when I had cancer and I didn't know I had cancer, you will live and not die and declare the works of God. When I came out of surgery, he spoke to me, Exodus 9:16 and Romans 9:17. For this purpose, Rose, have I let you live, that I might show you my power and that my name would be great in all the earth. And everywhere I go, I tell that he healed me of cancer. Now, my head said not to go back to the doctor. I did. And I felt a push behind me and I looked and I said, I'm not going back to the doctor to get a second opinion. And I felt a push. And he said, yes, you will. Now there's faith, foolishness, and presumption, and you need to go to God and see what he says. He has many ways to heal. The same God that healed me of my back could have instantly healed me of the cancer. But he told me, go this direction. He said, don't put me in a box, Rose. Go. I wouldn't be here today. He said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So I want you to go to God first always. Amen. I hope you received tonight. And God bless you. Thank you for listening. And may the Lord bless you. May I pray a prayer blessing over you. May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you in the night and in the morning and all day long, 24/7. His door is open in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good word. Let's give her a hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just want to share one more thing before we go. As we were praying, the Lord just showed me, we were raised in New Mexico, I was born in New Mexico, and very dry there. And it was not uncommon to see the ground. There was mud there before. Then it would just dry and it would just turn hard and there would be like just dry, cracked mud on the ground, right? And he showed me in so many areas of our hearts, that's how our hearts were. Dreams, places of our heart were just completely parched to the point it's just dry and crusty. But tonight, God has spoken his life over it. Where healing comes, there's life. And just we would watch gentle rain would come and it would just slowly soften that ground. And that's what he's doing tonight in our hearts. He's just how do I say it? Remoisturizing the dream. He's bringing it to life, activating the dream. So he's doing that in us tonight. Praise the Lord. Isn't he good? Tonight's a game changer. It's a game changer. Steward it well. Steward it well. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed. We love you guys.
Bless you.